Proverbs chapter 3, if you go to a fundamental Baptist church after 6 months, you pretty well know what you're going to hear. A Bible believer will try to take anything out of this book, and this is what I'm sure the Lord wants me to give this morning. It's not going to be exciting, and I'm not going to hear anybody be all thrilled about it, especially if you have a ham in the oven right now. So, Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to notice two things in this passage, and then we'll go to 3 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation, 3rd John, just for one verse. You can see Proverbs 3, 1 through 10 is about the Bible itself, a physical written book. But there's a benefit from reading the Bible, believing the Bible, that people often overlook. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. How many knew that? Physical life is extended, and a quality of life is extended from reading the book. They would have never guessed that. The health people never do that. And then it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Again, something physically beneficial from reading or believing the Word of God. And then he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Okay, new wine is grape juice. Okay, so we got verse 2 and verse 8, physical health. 3 John, okay, verse 2, 3 John verse 2, just 14 verses here. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Not just spiritual health, but also physical health, and sometimes those are interchangeable. Okay, and so then one more place, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so I'm just going to run through this idea, the Bible and physical health, and one's obligation, what you can do personally to follow Bible principles and to help yourself out physically, which helps you out mentally, which helps you out emotionally, which helps you out spiritually. I remember when Elijah got depressed. Do you know what his problem was? He wasn't sleeping enough. 1 Kings chapter 19. It was a physical problem that caused him a spiritual issue. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23 is a prayer. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, we can see priorities there, spiritual, soul, body. But still, something very important there. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand this idea, and I pray that you'd help us do what we can to be good stewards of the body that you've given to each and every one of us. And Lord, I truly believe you want me to go through this, even though I don't really feel like it. But we'll go ahead with it and see if you might get a blessing out of exalting your words. The amazing thing about your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in this passage, the written word of God not only helps a person spiritually, it helps us mentally, emotionally, and physically. Okay, we are called to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, right? Now, how do soldiers look? If a soldier were standing behind a pulpit, could you see him on both sides of the pulpit? No, obviously, they're in shape, they're fit and everything like this, physically strong. Now, the world's only view of the Bible, how does the world only view the Bible? They view it as a religious book only. But it's more than that. How do Christians view the Bible? They view the Bible as a book that only affects you spiritually. But the Bible is more than that. It is a history book. It's an economic book. It's a book on laws. It's a book on, it lectures. It has ideas on relationships with people. It has ideas on health, physical health. It has ideas on banking. Okay, it covers all those things, and people just don't read it to see all those different areas. And people generally will separate the spiritual from the secular. They'll say, you know, they'll separate those two, but with God, those are inseparable. Those are one and the same. In Leviticus chapter 19 in the Old Testament is the basic chapter on holiness under the Old Testament. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the first 8 verses, is a basic pattern or fundamental holiness in the New Testament. And people fail to remember that in both of those places, it deals with our business adventures as a matter of defrauding somebody that God says that's unholy. And so that's where everything is interchangeable. Okay, some would say it's psychosomatic, okay, where you're interchangeable, your emotions, your mental, your physical, your spiritual, all one and the same. A lot of people, what they just need to do is exercise and sweat, and it often takes away some of the tensions of life. It's a physical thing. And so I'm going to hit some ideas of what the Bible says physically about physical things. God created a healthy man and a healthy environment. Why? To fellowship with God. That's why he made man. Man has devolved now to a sick people in an evil world headed for absolute destruction. One of the signs of judgment on a nation is in Isaiah 5 verse 1 where it says their whole head is sick and it's called a health care crisis. Is that not what we have in our culture? Okay, and that's a judgment. And the reason why that's true is because that's a violation of the natural laws that God has set up. In the Constitution it says, the God of nature and nature's laws. There's some natural laws that God has set up. If you drop something, it's going down. God's not pushing it down. It just happens because he set up that law. And there are certain laws that God has established for the body, the human body. There's laws for plants and animals. And God is the one that established those things. And if an unsaved man jumps off the building, he's going to splat. And if a saved man jumps off a building, he's going to splat. Why? Because it's a natural law. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. And the natural laws are true for saved and lost people. And so when a saved man violates the natural laws of God, then he is going to suffer the consequences. Galatians 6 verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if he's going to sow to his flesh corruption, okay, or carnal things, he's going to reap that. And that's a saved, that's a universal law, okay, in all areas of life. And so this is what God has done. Now, sickness in a person's body is like a broken machine. Okay, I'm saying generally. Obviously, there are times that God wants a person to be sick. There are times. Paul was a very spiritual man, but he got sick. Okay, and so we're not discounting God in this matter, but generally speaking, okay, sickness is a broken machine. It's like a broken machine, and I'm not, again, not talking about accidents that people go through and have these troubles in life. But God, or the natural laws, God's priority is that what he will do to a culture or to an individual is he will tear down or allow his natural laws to tear down a physical body in order to save the soul. He'll do that. Okay, so I'm not discounting that idea, where we have a natural body and we have a spiritual body. But the idea is that God created a healthy man in the environment of a healthy environment, and look at man today. Okay, obviously it shows evolution is a farce. Okay, but the second thing is that Satan is going to counterfeit everything that God has. Satan counterfeits the ways of God in order to deceive man with the end game to destroy them. Okay, when you go into a culture, that they are thumbing their nose at God, and they're superstitious. In basically in any African culture, you're going to see that their lifespan is going to be max 40. Why? It's a judgment. Okay, judgment on God. And what's the standard of age, God, if everything would line up right, and you, of course, got the grace of God, the standard of age after the flood is 120. Okay, people often say 70 and 80. That's a man under judgment as far as a people. Again, I'm dealing generally speaking. Okay, now, man is a self-destructive being. And in fact, God told Israel, Hosea 13, you have destroyed yourself. Man is on a roller coaster. The world's a roller coaster. Man is destroying himself, and the devil is the guy running the ride. And man's jumping on it like crazy. Satan will lead a man by counterfeits and twisting the truths of God, and that's all that a heresy is. A heresy is a truth of God twisted. Okay, a JW is telling people about the kingdom, but he's telling them about a doctrine in the wrong time period. And so that's what a heresy is. Worldly music is nothing but godly music twisted. And a worldly diet that people eat is nothing but a godly thing that's been twisted. It's been tainted. Okay, now, diet is often what people think that's for their welfare. If you would look in Psalm 69, and what people tend to think is for their welfare is actually destroying them. Psalm 69, when Jesus was on the cross, they offered him vinegar mingled with gall. That was a fermented vinegar that was meant to give to him the dead and the pain. He rejected that. Then he was offered vinegar by itself. Okay, vinegar by itself, you'll say like an apple cider vinegar, that he received. And Psalm 69 is mentioning that idea when he was on the cross, verse 20. He says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, and there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat. They, the people at the cross, gave me, Jesus Christ, gall for my meat, vinegar mingled with gall. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. That's the second time they came. They gave them that. And then notice the follow-up of that. The judgment of rejecting Christ is in verse 22, let their table become a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. And so on that idea, a lot of people sit down and with a meal and they pray, God, please bless this and all that stuff, and they think it's for their welfare. And in this context, you'll be surprised, it often turns into a trap. Brett and Jen's on a deputation trail, and they say, oh, the things that people eat, it's just killing them. The spoon and the fork, that southern cooking, just to kill you, man. Okay, and so what man needs to do is he needs to restore. He needs to restore himself by the words of God in all areas of life, not just certain areas. In all areas of life, we want to restore and go back to the word of God. Okay, Proverbs chapter 23, a man is sitting at a table with somebody who's wealthy, and he's got a nice meal where he's got pork burgers, he's got chicken, he's got steak, he's got, getting hungry, hamburgers. He's got everything laid out there. He's got caviar. Proverbs 23, verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou not set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. There's the Bible prediction for the all-seeing eye of Horus on the back of your dollar bill. That's the secret societies running the show. Neither desire to, thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. Okay, in that context, he's saying, better be careful what you're eating. Okay, now remember that there's a man in Daniel chapter 1. There's two men in the Bible that interpreted dreams. One guy, after he interpreted the dream, was made second ruler in the kingdom. He's a type of Christ, that's Joseph. And then there's another man who interpreted the handwriting on the wall. He was made third ruler in the kingdom, and he's a type of the Holy Ghost. What do you read in your Bible about Daniel? What is the first thing you read about him? You read that Daniel rejected the diet of the government recommended daily allowance. He rejected that physically. Then he rejected mentally the public education that Babylonian was trying to cram down his throat. And he also rejected spiritually Allah and the Iraqi or the Babylonian faith. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That's what you read about Daniel. That's how his life begins in the Bible itself. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, if you study his ministry, you'll see that he will start physically first, hoping and praying that the people that he helped physically would accept his spiritual words. When you see Paul at the end of the book of Acts, he gets on that shipwreck. What does he do? There's a chief of the tribe was sick, and Paul healed him first, and then the entire island, he had influence of the entire island because he helped a man physically first. Now, I know the gift of healing is gone. I know that's gone. But there are other ways a person can help somebody out physically, hoping and praying that they will come and get on board spiritually. I wonder how many people Jesus Christ gave sight to and then rejected his written words. There had to be a bunch, which would be an amazing thing. And so man needs to be restored to the words of God, not just in any area, but in all areas of life. And so I want to give you seven vital areas of complete health. These are seven areas that you and I can do. You don't have to go to somebody who rode a broom in. You know, a lot of the New Ages where they... her broom sitting on the corner. Okay, but these are the very simple things a person can do. We often overlook these things, and it's kind of amazing that we overlook them. But there are seven basic vital areas that will help somebody physically and spiritually. I'm going to parallel them physically and spiritually, and they're one and the same. Okay, and this will help a person out that we can become a very efficient soldier for Jesus Christ. The one is pure air. What's air symbolized in the Bible? You'll find John chapter 3 where it says that those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. Pure air to breathe. This gets us into getting out in the country and breathing some good air. Now I know we got an issue in our culture. We got the New World Orders putting chemtrails over us and they're tainting our air. But I still understand all that stuff. But the idea is a person needs to start breathing some good air in. And getting out in the elements of the world itself and breathing some good air and getting your lungs moving, that's vital, and that's a picture of the spirit, fullness of the Spirit of God. Okay, and people often think they're overlooking that, but especially after a rainstorm. You know how that smells after a rainstorm? And the reason why that is because the lightning and the thunder is producing an ozone and a nitrogen, but it's producing an ozone, an O3, and possibly an O4. And it's like a peroxide that's coming down and it's cleansing the air. And after the chemtrails come floating through, then get out and start breathing that air. Okay, and that's an amazing thing that a person can do for themselves. Plus, a person can learn the value of what's called food-grade peroxide. Peroxide is H2O2. It's just water with an extra oxygen. And that's an amazing thing that a person can use, beneficial. These are very inexpensive things that a person can buy, food-grade peroxide. In fact, I'd rather use that any day than chlorine to clean a pool out. No side effects on some of those things. And some of the European cultures are smarter on this than Americans. But that's a no-brainer. You say pure air. A person can probably survive 4 minutes without air, 4 days without water, and 40 days without food. But that oxygen, that's very important as far as getting good air. The next one is pure water. Okay, pure water is vital. Now, obviously, you're going to have different ideas on this. How much should a person drink? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1, 2, and 3. It compares the Word of God, the doctrines of God, with water. What kind of water? Drink water out of thine own cistern. Americans used to do that. You don't see that anymore. My wife's parents had a cistern in their basement. And what is that? They're catching rainwater. Rainwater is naturally soft. Rainwater probably running through a porcelain filter be best, but drink it straight wouldn't be too bad. Okay, but pure water. Not water from the tap, because chlorine and fluoride is designed by the authorities to dull your senses. That's the purpose of it. To get you in a passive state so that they can push their agenda on the American people. Okay, and so that obviously has got to be out the door. I mean, drinking that water is like reading from an NIV. I mean, if you're really dying of thirst, yeah, you can get water out of the toilet. I'd flush it a few times. But that's the idea. People often ask me, do you think they only get saved by the King James? No, I can get my thirst quenched from the toilet, but I got to watch out for the germs. I can get saved with the NIV, but I just got to be careful of the germs that I'm going to get out of it. But pure water, how much should a person drink? Vital, vital. Okay, when people get older, they don't want to drink water. And vital, very, so important. How much water does a person use? Remember Y2K, we prepared for that and tried to prepare how much water? You'll be amazed how much water you use throughout a day. Minimum 100 gallons, everybody. You throw in everything. And you're going to try to store up water for your family? Yeah, right. You're going to have to dig a well. Okay, but what kind of water, the type of water, if a person wants to distilled water, I'd say add a little pinch of Celtic salt in there, maybe a little minerals in there, so that your body can retain something like that. Rainwater running through a filter is good. Natural spring water, you can get online and find a good natural spring. The closest one I know from here is probably Delphi. We found one 20 minutes from where Heidi lives, coming right out of a rock. Okay, spring water, good natural spring water. Alkaline water is obviously the best you can get, alkaline water, where you can alkalize your body. But a person, the first thing you get up in the morning, first thing you get out of bed, you ought to drink, guzzle down a pint to a quart. Boom, like that. Not that brown water. Plain old water. That brown water, that's good for enemas, but that plain old water. Okay? I mean, because why? You've been sleeping for about 8 hours and you've not been drinking. And so that rehydrates your body real quick. And so a pint or a quart, more a quart would be great, but to guzzle that down, right down first thing in the morning, and then ideal 4 ounces every 30 minutes, but who's going to do that? 8 ounces every hour, that would be great, but figure out your weight and a minimum amount of water, not pop, not lemonade, not coffee, not tea. Minimum amount of water that a person should drink is half your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, divide that in half, 100 ounces. I know doctors aren't going to tell you these things, and you can't believe the benefits you get from those things. To rehydrate. A lot of people's problem is they're just not drinking water. And you know a lot of people's problems spiritually? They're not reading the book. We're cleansed by the water of the Word. Water in the Bible is a symbolism of the cleansing agent of the written Word of God. And so that's the second thing, pure water. The next thing is living food. Now when I say living food, now I'm going to deal with the highest ideal, okay? I'm not going to, after this you can go ahead and get your steak and everything, but living food, I'm not talking about chasing a cow down, and cutting his leg off and chewing on him like that. Living food is the food that Adam ate was fruit. Living, live fruit, not cooked, living fruit, where you go on, you take a carrot and you put it on your countertop, and it will continue to grow, will it not? Why? Because it's alive. And if you cook that carrot above 107 degrees and put that on the countertop, it will not grow. You killed it. It's dead. It's dead food. Now, what the industries will do is they'll pump preservatives in it to keep it pure, and that's a form of formaldehyde because that's dead food. You get life from live food. You get death from dead food. Okay, so raw fruit and vegetables. Brother Bill Day, many of us know him, changed one thing in his diet is he only ate fruit in the morning. He lost 40 to 80 pounds, I forget which. It was either 40 or 80, I forget which one. He changed nothing else. All he did was he ate fruit in the morning. That's it. Okay, and when a person eats fruit, what is people a lot of times they do? They have a nice big meal, and then here comes the watermelon. Bad timing. Watermelon, muskmelon, cantaloupe should always be eaten on an empty stomach 30 minutes before the meal if you're going to have it. And man, is you get energy from that. Fruit should always be eaten on an empty stomach. Apple, orange. Now I realize, I know the industry is gassing them and all that stuff. Ideally to get fruit locally is the best. But even getting it out of, you know, the other cultures is fine and dandy, and it's going to be better than you get. But fruit eaten alone on empty stomachs, the best a person can do, have a breakfast of fruit, not canned fruit, but just good raw fruit. You can't imagine the healing, the energy that you get from that. Now, granted, there's times if a person's going to start working on your diet, you've got to have days, if you're good for a week, okay, this day we're going to splurge. Okay, when we started changing our, we would do that, and we did. We splurged Dairy Queen, candy bars, you name it. We did it on that splurge day. Okay, but yeah, you got to reward yourself. But you talk about how strong your flesh is. This is the area I'm talking about. Go through the stores. People buy by their eyesight. That's why they put wax on the bananas or on the wax on the apples to make them shiny. Put it in peroxide, you'll see the wax come up. Take those little cute little carrots, put those and slap them on your counter and watch them turn white because they've dipped them in chlorine. You see, the industry is not designed. One method, the New World Order, wants to decrease world populations. How? By food. By what they're putting in them. Okay, so living fruit, that's how Adam and Eve lived off of until after the fall, and then they went to living vegetables. Okay, vegetables is not a word in the Bible. It would be another word for fruit. But a raw carrot is life. A cooked carrot is death. A raw spinach is healthy. Cooked spinach is toxic. Okay, Popeye had problems because he had cooked spinach and all that stuff. Nuts for protein. Locally raised is best. Okay, now we can jump into our meat, and I'm not a vegetarian, but everybody's a vegetarian. Some are just second-hand vegetarians. Some are third-hand vegetarians, meaning you ate it from the cow. But I dare you eat a steak without steak sauce, ketchup, garlic, spices. Those are all plant products. Eat meat without any plant influence, and it is a raunchy drag. Right? I mean, when we get our hamburger, we're going to have lettuce and tomatoes and everything, put everything in. In Australia, they put beets on their, but oh, apples. Oh, their hamburgers, they got beets on there. I can't stand that. But still the idea. But you got to recognize, too, that in the industry, because farmers are trying to make a living, can't blame them, they're trying to make a living, so they're pumping hormones into these animals. And puberty used to be about 15 for American girls, and it's now dropping down because of the hormones that they're eating at McDonald's. Okay, and so I'm not saying don't eat meat. I'm not a vegetarian in that area. But a person, we eat too much. We eat too much. And the thing is The idea that Porky Pig, he's just too cute to eat. I mean, he's just too cute of a little guy. And pigs are just too intelligent to be eaten. But go ahead if you want to do that. I would suggest take some bacon. Next time you cook some bacon, take one strip, put in a mason jar, and let it set for about a month and see the little creepy crawlies come out. You know, I don't know. Okay, so there's that. Living food. We need living food. Doesn't it say the fruit of the Spirit is... Does it say the meat of the Spirit? It does say the fruit. Check out fruit throughout the Bible. That's something that might be beneficial. Okay, number four is vigorous exercise. We Americans don't want that idea. Okay, what is exercise, spiritually speaking? That's when you speak up for Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to challenge you. And that's what we need to do. If we don't exercise, you got to keep the blood flowing. If you take a string, put it around your finger, and you cut that blood off supply, what's going to happen to it? And what's going to happen to our spiritual life if we cut off the blood supply of Jesus Christ? We're going to wilt off just like that finger. And that's why the blood of Christ, churches that don't sing about the blood of Christ anymore, that's why they're wilting. But vigorous exercise keeps the body going. I know that it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says, bodily exercise profiteth little. It still profits. But it profiteth little. But godliness. I know if you have a choice between godliness and bodily exercise, yes, choose the godliness. But how about both of them? The New Age crowd, they may be looking healthy physically, but they are sure a mess spiritually. And the Bible crowd, they may be looking healthy spiritually, but they sure are a mess physically. And why can't we just get everything together as what this book says? A person needs to do some sort of movement. If you don't move it, it's going to fall off. Rigor mortis is going to set in. A rebounder is a great thing to do. Very simple. A good rebounder where you're moving the whole length of the body and you're exercising the entire body when you're jumping on a little rebound. I grew up with a trampoline. I'm so thankful for that. A trampoline. Talk about coordination, developing one's coordination on a trampoline. Plus, you're moving the entire length of the body. And, I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Our one friend that had a trampoline put a basketball goal right by it, and that's about the only time a white boy can jam it. Okay, so, but a great thing to have. But it's an amazing thing to have. To use a trampoline. But there's some form of exercise. You got to figure, I hate jogging. I can't stand jogging. I don't want to jog, but I do like playing basketball. And it's an amazing thing. The type of shoes a person wears is so vital. The whole industry is designed, the entire industry is designed to take down the physical body. And so it's very important as far as that goes. If a person gets into running, your shoes are vital. Okay, the fifth thing is abundant sunshine in the outdoors. Now, sunshine is obviously in the Bible. As far as Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to get in the outdoors. A lot of people are just staying inside, and they need to, you know, get the kids and push them outside. Boy, we have had some great weather to push them outside. But they need to be outside. Again, I was very fortunate being raised on a farm and just went outside all the time. So all we knew is to be outside. Be outside barefoot. Vital, being outside barefoot. Barefoot is amazing what it does for a person. You go down to Florida, a lot of them elderly folks will get on that beach and walk that beach barefoot, and they don't, and some of them are living longer just by doing that. Connecting back with the energies of the earth. And I'm not a New Agey, but there is something to that. Walking barefoot in the grass. It's very important. But a person needs vigorous exercise. If we do not exercise our body, if a person doesn't exercise spiritually speaking, then they're just going to die in the vine. And so we got to get the body moving in all areas of life. And then you got to get outside, get out in the outdoors. Get away from some of this synthetic stuff. You know, walking barefoot in carpet's one thing, but walking barefoot in the grass is a whole big difference. Walking barefoot in the sand and running down there. And when you run barefoot in the sand, you finally run right. on your toes, where your shoes aren't pointed up, where you get plantar fasciitis. Okay, but then again, that will keep the health people in business if they want to help you with plantar fasciitis. Okay, I tell you, everything, we are living in a culture where everything is against the believer. Everything. Okay, so we got vigorous exercise, we got sunshine. This is one I like, proper rest. God giveth his beloved sleep. So you can sleep right now if you want. Okay, rest. Not only that, rest, relaxation, and we'll throw this one in, the most important thing of all these, because this is part of rest, because you're sitting and thinking and stinking, elimination. I mean, if a guy is not sitting on that pot three times a day, he is a pile of poop that's about ready to pack, you know, out there, and he is the number one cancer of today is colon cancer. And if you're putting it in three times a day, you better be sitting and putting it out three times a day, a minimum. And what's that a picture of in the Bible? Confessing sin. If Christians aren't confessing sin, what's going to happen to them? If they're not going to look in the mirror and say, you no doubt are wrong, and you have been wrong, and if a person's not sitting the white throne in that bathroom, and get that in any church service this morning. Boy, that's a blessing. Is that a blessing? And that's where the coffee comes in. A coffee enema is a great thing to draw toxins out. Okay? And so, it's amazing thing how people, the number one cancer is colon cancer. There's a big man that died, and they happened to do an experiment on this guy. They took his colon out and weighed it. It was 50 pounds. He was a 50-pound manure pile, is what that was. Okay, and so a person needs to discard these things from your body, and that's what sweating does. You see, American culture, we want to get in the AC, which is you need it in the car, most certainly, because if you're coming to church, you have the AC on, because we don't want to smell you when you get here. But you need to sweat. Okay, and you know what sometimes breast cancer is a cause of? Because ladies are putting the underarm, and it's not sweating here, so it's going right into their breast, and they got cancer. Plus the aluminum in the cancer gives, you know, Alzheimer's and all that stuff. But the idea is we need to sweat. We need to keep things moving. We need the blood flowing in our body. And then we also need to rest. The Lord Jesus told his apostles at one time, you need to come apart. You see a workaholic or something like that, you need to come apart. You need to rest. This is why I encourage, and when you get a chance, to get a chance in the summer, you take a vacation, go someplace. Find a church, go to a church. You probably can't find a Bible-believing church anyway. Go to a charismatic church. Man, have a good time. Yell and scream. Raise your hand. Wash the windows. I mean, go to some liberal church. I don't care. Maybe you appreciate us a little bit more here. Go to a black church if you really have a good time. We did that down in Florida one time. It was a Sunday night, though. It wasn't as fun. And we felt welcome. We was the only white folk in there. And they say, we want our visitors to know that everyone's welcome in this church. Well, who are you talking about? And it was nice. And so the idea is we need some proper rest. Obviously, with shift work, it's tough on you guys. I don't know how you do it. But if a person, it is much better if you can, every hour before midnight is worth 2 hours after midnight of rest. And so the idea is we need some proper rest, relaxation, and most certainly elimination. And we don't want to be a piston pack a pile of poo, that's for sure. People don't realize, I heard somebody say, you know what a lot of these world leaders need? A lot of these world leaders just need an enema. It's because they're so stressful. And so that's why they want to fight each other all the time. And it's probably true, but, I think there's obviously a bigger thing. But here's another last thing is a body balance. Okay, a body balance is your pH of your body. Timing is everything. It's not timing everything with the car engine. Timing is everything in sports. Timing is everything in life. You can be doing the right thing at the wrong time. When Mary came and anointed Jesus Christ On the 10th day of the first month, the timing was perfect with Leviticus on the Passover lamb. And the ladies that came to anoint his body on the day after, the 3 days after, they were doing the right thing at the wrong time. And there was only one lady, Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, listened to his word, who did the right thing at the right time. Ecclesiastes says everything is beautiful in his time. Okay, and the thing is, involving the pH of the body, we're 7 pH. Isn't that amazing how the Bible has got that 7? 7 pH is a neutral. Anything above is alkaline. That's where healing takes place. Anything below is acid. That's where everything else, disease, takes place. And so you can get pH strips and test your saliva and test your urine and things like that. And you can see where you're at physically with your body. But balance of that is so vital. And this is where herbs step in and plants step in, where they're on the alkaline side, and meat in process and all that stuff is on the acid side. And so, again, I'm not opposed to all these things. If a person wants to drink their acidic pop in front of me, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Okay, but a person's got to try to get that balance and try to get your body. And apple cider vinegar, you think it's acidic, but boy, does it help the body with alkaline. And there's now a study out on baking soda, fascinating study. Baking soda, a teaspoon of that with a teaspoon of blackstrap molasses will raise your alkaline. And you talk about a very inexpensive preventive maintenance for cancer. The Italian doctor that came up with that idea ran out of Italy. And so obviously we know why. You see? And so our body, the body is, do we not know that this body is self-healing? Is that not true? You cut yourself and what does it do? It miraculously heals itself or it regenerates. And so what a person needs to learn to study is to give your body the necessary ingredients so that you can improve regeneration of the body. But a lot of times we get in the way of it. And that's the thing, as far as God's got everything of this is laid out in this book. It's just a matter of finding it. This book is a phenomenal thing. And we just get in this book and find out, and we'll find out that some of them folks in the old days where they had their apple cider vinegar and they had their blackstrap molasses, those things still work. They still work. Psalm 104, verse 14 says that the herbs are for the service of man. Psalm 104, verse 14. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And so these are 7 areas of life. This is something a person can do. We're not talking about, dumping medication. We're not talking about not going to the doctor. The doctors, most of the time, know very little about nutrition. They're not taught this. They're not taught nutrition. Why? Well, we're just a victim, and I just got this problem, and it just happened to me because I was just an innocent person, and this thing just jumped all over me. No, it's about time people just look in the mirror and say, I got to take care of this body. I got to follow what the Bible lays for us. Bible puts out for us, and so if we find out what the Bible puts out for us, granted, I'm not saying a person's not going to get sick, because there are times God wants us to be that way so that we could somehow minister to somebody else. He might give us a car trouble so that we go to the car mechanic so we witness to the mechanic. He might have busted it so that we go to the mechanic and witness to him. We got God's intervention in all these things. But still, the basic idea is these are some very simple things that God Himself has laid out. He's created this body, and He's given us, look at here, He's given us an owner's manual. And if all else fails, read that. And we discover there's a lot in there. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that You'd help us just to see the many benefits of Your words, not just spiritually, not just mentally, but sometimes physically. And I pray, Lord, that folks that are going through some sickness, that we would pray for them, we could help them. And Lord, I know there are times that You definitely are involved in those things. I know there are times that you have these things for our lives. We go through troubles and trials, and there's nothing we're going to do to change it. Some things, but there are some things that we can change. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be responsible, read what your word says, practice some things in your word. Why? So that we can bring you glory. So that we can be a blessing to you. So that we can magnify your word. If we could help somebody out physically, that possibly they might ask us, or we might be able to lead them spiritually also. It's amazing how those things work, and I just pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you and your task. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go get a hamburger.